Phase two consisted of, again, some funding from the Queensland Government, this time to the extent of about $300,000. With that, the institution was able to commission five consultants, and they're all up there covering the appropriate areas which had to be covered for a further understanding of the project. At that stage, we fairly heavily publicised this whole project internationally, and that's when it started getting a fair amount of press. That included trips to all the countries I indicate up there. The reports from that were completed in September 87. They are five volumes, which again were published through the institution, which for some reason it escapes me, they charge, I think it's $135 a set. The Queensland Government purchased 600 sets, sent them throughout the world to all sorts of organisations. They generated much enthusiasm, but at this stage the Queensland Government decided that they personally had taken it far enough, and from here on it's up to industry to take it further. Fairly sensibly of them, I thought, because don't forget, we are talking about a commercial facility. We aren't talking about a government subsidised site, and this is what makes this proposal unique. Every other launch site in the world has been paid for by a government. What we are trying to do is something new, totally new. Anyhow, the Queensland Government decided to ferret out who's out there by, they call it expressions of interest. I sort of associate that with a formal tendering process. That was not what was intended or even carried out. The intention from here on was that there be selected a preferred developer, is the phrase, I think. And the Queensland Government, in effect, went through what was essentially a tendering type and process. They called for expressions of interest. There were some 62 companies, I think, expressed interest. Of those 62, around about five were prepared to do the job. The job being a detailed commercial project assessment. The other 57 or so offered to assist the successful, I'll call them tenderer, organisation. That was in November 87. Things didn't quite flow how the Queensland Government thought they would. And I won't go into how it all came about, but out of that process, there came two consortia who have since that time had the full support of both the state and the federal governments in examining the proposal, who are looking at completing their studies by June of 89 this year. The two consortia are the Australian Spaceport Group, which includes OSAC, Malgo, BHP and the Bond Corporation, and Martin and Marietta from Colorado in there. It staggered me when someone pointed out to me, but I'm told it's true, that consortium in terms of assets and turnover is the largest consortium that's ever been assembled in Australia for any project. That includes Snowy Mountains and everything else. The other consortium is the Cape York Space Agency, which has had several owners. They are actually set up as a company. The Australian Spaceport Group is a consortium of interested parties. But CYSA has two owners, Essington or EDL, which splits up in to Essington and EIE Constructions. EDL, I believe, is a 90% shareholder, and in turn Essington and EIE own about 50% of EDL. EIE is a primarily Japanese-owned construction company. The other 10% of CYSA is owned by Kumagai. So as you can see, in CYSA, there's a fairly sizable and Japanese element there, over 50% on last count, in fact substantially over. So those are the two consortia who are in there at the moment. As far as our consortium is concerned, the Australian Spaceport Group, our phase one studies will be completed in about 3 weeks. Those studies will basically answer what is probably a fairly simple question, but is terribly hard to answer, or has been terribly hard to answer. And that is there a chance of a commercially viable spaceport coming out of this? Commercially viable in the truest sense of the word, and can we earn a profit out of it in an acceptable time? As part of getting to where we are now in the ASG, we took a snapshot of our projects and informed the federal and the state and governments, and purely as a courtesy, in late 88 of our progress. That received a fair amount of PR at the time, although I don't know why. Okay, if we answer that question I told you, if the answer to that is yes, the intention is that we enter a phase two almost immediately, and that should take about a year. They're completing, say, halfway through 1990, and where we will be at that stage is we will have all the impact studies completed, for example. We will have the basic civil engineering type jobs done. In other words, we should be set to break ground. We're looking at a construction phase of about 3 years, which means we could have our first flight by 1993 or thereabouts. It's a fairly solid schedule, but we think it's feasible. Now, someone is going to ask me, okay, what are your current feelings about phase one? How is it going to turn out? And the answer is that our conclusions so far are that yes, there are ways of making a Cape York spaceport a commercially viable project. Without going into anything silly or absurd, there are ways that are possible and feasible. However, certain things have to happen, and those things, I can't say anything about them here tonight, those things have to be done at an international and government to government type level, and they are starting to happen right now. So there are plenty of ifs and buts about our conclusions to our phase one in ASG, but I can quite openly say that there is at least one way that it can work, and we tend to think that in the short term our concept offers the only way that it is commercially viable. Now, that's all terribly vague and annoying, but I cannot say anything else about it tonight, and I apologise for that.